Now, for our message today, we are going to continue to work our way through the book of Revelation. And just as a reminder, if you haven't been with us or if you haven't read Revelation before, Revelation is this letter that was written by the Apostle John. It is a vision that he received from God of future events, referring to a time when Jesus is going to be returning to the earth. We are living in this time of God's grace right now, where Jesus died, offering forgiveness for sin. But at some point, God is going to come and finalize his plans for redemption for people, finalize his redemptions to his plan to return all creation and all relationships with mankind back to how he intended, which means that he comes to judge everyone for their sin. He comes to banish sin and evil from the earth and restore his kingdom again. We'll read more about that as we work our way through Revelation. But we are up to chapter 6 right now, where we're reading about Jesus breaking the seals on a scroll which contains God's plans, where Jesus is the one worthy to fulfill this plan. Now, before we jump into that passage, I want to share the words from an old hymn that some of you may be familiar with, a hymn called My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. This song says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, in him my righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." This song expresses the point about life in Christ that is highlighted in this next section of Revelation. So let's read together Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. What we read here is that John watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars and the sky fell to the earth, as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand?" So as this passage tells us, as Jesus opens the scroll, as Jesus prepares to return, this great catastrophic event occurs. And it can be frightening to consider being there to witness all these things happening. But as we ponder this passage, I think you'll see that there's good reason for God to cause these things to happen, to cause what we see being described here to occur in the final time of judgment that's to come when Jesus returns. Now, as I initially read through this, my mind first went to the idea of stars falling to the earth. And I was thinking about the fact that, okay, today we know of stars as these big balls of gas, millions, trillions of miles away. Well, how does that actually work, that they would actually fall to the earth, right? Well, then you have to stop and realize, okay, remember, this is a vision. It's not necessarily literal. What this is a first century man describing what he saw, describing this cataclysmic event. And when you ponder that, and you start to take a close look at what John describes here, there's something significant, I think, in the image that he paints of stars falling to the earth, the sky rolling up like a scroll and vanishing, and every mountain and island being removed from its place. All of those things are things that we would normally expect to be unchanging. There's nothing that can move a mountain, right? The stars have been the same in the sky for thousands of years. Thousands of years ago, astronomers looked up into the sky and they started naming them, and they saw patterns that they called constellations, and we still see those same constellations today with very little change in what has happened. I did some reading on this, and the stars and the positions relative to one another do change slightly, but very minimal. And for thousands of more years, people will still be seeing those same constellations. We don't expect the stars to ever change. The sky is always present and mountains are immovable, except when Jesus is about to return. In this moment, God shows that even these things can be shaken. And if even the stars and the skies and the mountains can be removed from their place, then there is nothing in all of creation that can stand solidly. Everything is uncertain. And the message of this passage is that there is nothing else that can serve as a truly solid and reliable foundation than God Himself. Not even the mountains, not even the stars are worthy of our trust. And we have lots of examples of what can happen when you build on an unstable foundation, don't we? You probably heard lots of stories about people building on unstable foundations, what can happen. There's a very famous example, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, that was constructed beginning in 1173 AD. It was built on ground made of clay, sand, and shells. And 5 years after they began construction, they'd reached the third floor and they noticed it was starting to tilt. The soil had destabilized the foundation, but they kept going. They built five more stories, and as they went, they were trying to correct the tilt by actually, if you look at it, they built the uphill floors shorter than the other side, hoping that that difference in mass would correct the tilt, and of course it didn't. Over the next 800 years, as people studied this tower, it became clear that it wasn't just leaning, it was actually falling. Falling at a very slow rate of about 1 to 2 millimeters per year. And people and engineers have questioned for centuries, what are we going to do about this? In recent years, people have done some work to try to stabilize that foundation. They've hung weights on one side. They've done a lot of things and have actually helped it correct its tilt a little bit, but today it stands about 16 and a half feet or 5 meters off of the straight vertical. And it stands as an example of what can happen when you build in an unstable foundation. And we go to great lengths to try to correct those things as it happens. I was thinking about our culture. The culture in a world based on sin, basically, based on human beings wanting their own way, following their own way, right? And we've built on that for centuries. And we recognize problems in that culture. And we try to correct it. We try to, maybe we'll hang a weight on this side. Maybe we'll make this change and then things will get better. And we keep building and building and building on that structure, but it never corrects the basic problem. The foundation was unstable. An unstable foundation just won't hold its structures. Ultimately, they will fall. And this is true whether you're talking about a building or a person's life. And this is why in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus warned, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, it fell. And great was the fall of it." God warns us that there is no foundation as reliable as Jesus. There is nothing else that will stand. But as humans, we have this habit of trying to build our lives on so many other things. Things that we place our full hope and expectations on. Sometimes we put our hope in other people, believing that we'll find those people in our life that we can always depend on. People go through life looking for that one person, that soulmate that will always provide all the happiness and all the stability that they need. But every one of us has our weaknesses. There is no person who can ever fulfill your every need. It's just not, they're just not capable of it. Sometimes we put our expectations on money and careers and possessions to give us the life that we want. We put our hope in them, but they're never enough. We set our desire on things like power and influence and fame to give us success and happiness. If only I had them. But none of those things ever delivers on the promise. They're fleeting. They don't last. Very often, what we cling to is control over our lives. The ability to decide for ourselves what is good and what is bad and what is right and wrong. Many, many people miss faith in Jesus and the grace he offers because they want to hold on to the belief that there's nothing wrong with them. They haven't done anything bad. The choices they've made have to be okay because it feels good to them. But they're building on a foundation of their own self-righteousness, and it just doesn't hold up. The standard always changes to fit personal desires and situations, and the truth is that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all, every one of us, have wandered away from God. So recognizing your own sin doesn't mean you're worse than anyone else. It just acknowledges the truth that we've all gone astray. There's also lots of different religious systems people turn to. None of them really offers true, reliable hope the way Jesus does. Most of them say, if you follow all these rules, do all these things right, then maybe, hopefully, someday, you can gain favor and reward. There's no hope in that. There simply isn't any other reliable foundation to build your life on than Jesus Christ. He's unchanging, and he's all-powerful. He offers love and grace regardless of your actions. He offers forgiveness of sin and eternal life to all people who will turn to him. It's not based on your actions, how well you prove yourself. It's based on what he's done and who he is. He has offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for sin, and he invites you to know forgiveness today if you trust in him. He offers you a new life filled with his presence. If you will trust in what he's done, because he has paid your debt in full to God. It's really important that we remind ourselves to base our lives in faith in Jesus and not cling to anything else. Even as Christians, we often haven't matured or grown enough in our faith to always remember this. We all have our moments where we cling to something else. We're tempted to seek hope and fulfillment in other places. We want life to turn out the way we expect it to. But we have to remind ourselves to let go of that expectation, to offer our hope to God, to turn to him, to trust him with every situation before that foundation other than Christ begins to crumble and leaves us feeling lost. We need to give every desire of our hearts to Jesus, trusting him to provide and trusting his will as perfect for our lives. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And I love that promise. God's power has given us everything we need for a godly life. And many of you have discovered this as you walked by faith with Christ, that life seems uncertain, and we don't know where things are going, but as you trust in him, he always comes through and provides. I've heard countless stories of that over the past years. We've reflected on 2019. So many of you have experienced really challenging situations, and were tempted to cling to your own power and ability, but you said, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you with it. And he took you through it. He was faithful. We need to remind ourselves to trust in him, give everything to him, and believe in his divine power to provide for us. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Of course, building our lives on a foundation of faith in Jesus can be difficult and challenging at times. God may have to tear down some of the beliefs and practices that we've built up in our lives before knowing him. He needs to convict us to make different choices in the way we live, unravel some of the hopes and expectations we've adopted because they're not built on a reliable foundation. It can be difficult to do that because we've adopted those things because it felt like the right thing to do. It felt like it would give us hope. But when we realize it's not based on Christ, we need to let him tear those down and trust him to build up a reliable structure, reliable choices, on the foundation of Him and His will. That's why maturing in Christ is not always easy. God needs to take down the old sometime to rebuild the new, and we have to trust that He will rebuild the new. So let's go back now to the second part of that passage in Revelation 6 and look at the response of the people to this enormous shakeup. We're told that the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave, every free man, everyone, all people, all walks of life hid in fear over what was happening. But notice what their fear was in. It wasn't in the mountains moving or the stars falling or any of the great shake-up things that might have been happening. Their fear was in Jesus coming. See, there's something that happens in this moment where all doubt about who the ultimate authority is erased. What I see happening in this passage is that every other foundation that we think we can trust in is suddenly removed. And the eyes of every person is open in that moment to realize, oh, there is only one. And He's coming. The fear that they felt was they no longer could just avoid belief in Jesus. They no longer could say, oh, no, that doesn't apply to me. I'm living on this. All that was taken away. And now they saw Jesus. God doesn't cause this shake up as just an expression of anger and punishing people who live in sin. That's not His character. What He's doing is exposing the weakness of everything that people cling to, erasing every doubt and every excuse for not acknowledging the authority of Jesus. Paul spoke about this moment in Romans 14. He was calling upon Christians to stop judging one another, and he quoted the prophet Isaiah, Romans 14, verses 10 and 11. Say, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God. Every person who has ever lived will one day stand before God to give an accounting of their life. And before Jesus returns, He ensures that all doubt is removed. That everyone still remaining on the earth clearly knows we are accountable to Him and Him alone. Can you imagine how fearful that might be? To have every other foundation you've clung to in life suddenly be taken away and come to stand before God. It does seem like a fearful thing. And that's why the people in Revelation cried out, for the day of His great wrath is coming. Who can withstand it? No one can withstand and get away from that final judgment from God. But the truth of the gospel is this, that there is no reason to fear for your life. No reason to fear facing the Lord when your life is built upon faith in Jesus. He is the one foundation that remains, and we don't have to wait for that day in the future when He returns to make that decision. We could live it today. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2 expresses, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. And I think that fits so well with this image from Revelation of the entire earth, all of creation being shaken up and every foundation broken loose, and yet this one foundation remains. And if your foundation is Christ, you shall not be shaken. There's no reason to fear. One of the other great benefits of building your life on Jesus is to know now that on that day you face the Lord, you have nothing to fear. You need not be shaken, because you're already standing on the rock. Now, certainly, when we're honest and humble, we can all look at our lives and acknowledge that we have lived in sin. We have been selfish. We've been disobedient to God. We've done it even after expressing our faith in Christ. We have all served our own purposes. But Jesus came to the world knowing this. He gave up His life as a willing sacrifice for all of us, despite the fact that we've lived in sin. And He took the penalty upon Himself. And for all of those who confess their sin and receive Jesus' forgiveness by faith, just ask Him for that forgiveness and trust that He did pay the penalty. You can know that you've been forgiven. And that's the beginning of a life built on a solid ground of Jesus. That's the starting point, to know that you are now standing firm and you have nothing to fear. And on the day you face the Lord, if you have lived by faith in Jesus, you need not fear. God is not going to drag your sin back out in front of you again. Jesus has already dealt with it. It's been paid in full. And so as that hymn said in the final verse, when he shall come with the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. In him my righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Because he took your sin, because he paid the price, shed his blood for you, you can stand faultless before the throne. So let's make every effort today and every day we have remaining on this earth to build our lives on the foundation of Christ. I urge you to examine what you put your trust in. Are there structures you've built up on an unstable foundation? Choices that you're making that depend on yourself or somebody else other than Christ? Take those things to God. Lay them down to him, because those foundations won't last. They won't fulfill what you're looking for. Only Christ can. Let's also not just think about ourselves and our standing before God. How many people you interact with each day do not have that confidence in Christ? How many of them are building their lives on an unstable foundation? Family, friends, coworkers, people you run into in our community. Let's not judge them for the lives that they're living. Our role is to show them Jesus, to let them see how much better their life could be, how much more fulfilling life could be if they put their trust in Jesus. Let's do all that we can to help them have that confidence that when they face the Lord, they need not fear either. And they could praise God, saying, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand as well. Let's do our part to help as many people as we can have that confidence in him. Let's give thanks to God for the foundation that he gives us, the faithfulness that he shows us in so many ways. Ask him to remind us and keep building that foundation in our lives. Let's praise him with all our hearts in our final song after we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the foundation that we do have available to us through Christ. I just pray that you speak to each one of us today about the choices we're making in life, about what we're trusting in, Lord. Reveal to us any way that we're not trusting in you. Give us the courage to change, Lord, to lay those things down, because we really know if we think about it, it's not going to last. It doesn't provide. We may be chasing something that, Lord, just keeps failing us, but you offer us a solid foundation. Help us to build our lives on that. And Lord, may we see many people around us come to build the same foundation as well. I ask for your blessing on this church, Lord, as we continue to follow and trust in you.